We check in with our local history buff on Ballarat today, writer, researcher, blogger, cricketer, baseballer, Amy Silomanis. G'day, Amy.
Good morning.
Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You've come in with a can of empty beer.
I was saying it's almost midday, but yes, I have a can of Ballarat Bitter with the iconic Ballarat Bertie.
It is such an iconic logo. It's a shame. You can't buy a Ballarat Bertie bitter anymore, can you? I don't think you can.
No.
No. The reason you've brought this in today, Amy, because we are talking pubs and the verandas or lack thereof. The information you've sent me about this is just fascinating, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah. So we were lucky to call on heritage architect Wendy Jacobs for some info about the verandas, which we'll hear from as well.
So if we look at a pub like the Peter Layla, I know it's got a new name now, but it looks like it should have a veranda. And I'm sure it once did. Would that be right?
Mm.
There's lots of buildings in town like that. Tell us why they started disappearing.
Well, there's a link here to the Olympics, which obviously is going on at the moment in Tokyo. And again, yeah, thanks to Wendy for alerting us to this, that, yeah, there was an idea in the 50s that the verandas were an old look and many were removed for a more modern style.
In fact, in Melbourne, there was a bylaw passed by the City of Melbourne that businesses need to remove them.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Did that happen here, do we know?
I don't think so, but there was a big thing about cars smashing into the verandas, which was part of the reason for, you know, this is dangerous, we need to take them down. And, yeah, possibly if they were damaged, people didn't want to restore them. So, yeah, it's interesting to see them being put back on in some cases in more recent years.
Yeah, that's very heartening. I love these words Wendy got to you, Amy. She says, with the advent of the motor car, those pesky veranda posts kept leaping out and hitting poor defenceless motorists.
Ah, oh, dear.
So I guess it was a twofold thing. It was the advent of the car and then, as you mentioned, the 1956 Olympics and Melbourne wanting to be seen as a, you know, put it in inverted commas, a modern city. Mm. Would we have felt some pressure to do the same?
I think so, yeah. So we had the rowing up here, which was pretty exciting to be involved in the Olympics. And I think, yeah, it would have taken a lot of cue from Melbourne in that field. But, yeah, it's sad.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you that. As someone who loves Ballarat's history, driving around our heritage streets to see buildings that clearly should have a veranda that don't, you kind of think, ah, what could have been?
Yeah, and that's why, so Jackson's Hotel, which is now the Sporting Globe, people might remember in 2013 did the big project to put the veranda back on.
Mm. There should be more of that, but I would imagine that would cost an absolute bomb, wouldn't they?
Yeah, so yeah, it's got to be that intent to put the money in, and I think they saw that the heritage sort of values, you know, everyone loves it and it looks amazing now. I can't imagine what it would look like without it now.
No, it just wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't have the same feel, would it? Now, you've come with some research around some stuff that was found in the Jackson's Hotel.
Know that we can crack into a Ballarat bitter.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, so in 2013 when they were doing the big renovations there and they renamed it Jackson's, which was the original name from the 1860s, in the walls they found, well, there were these secret rooms which weren't on any plans, so people's imaginations can go where they will. But in the walls they found corsets and these tiny little shoes and cognac bottles and some letters and a postcard even from a soldier in World War One.
They're just such great treasures to uncover. Does it make you wonder what else is out there?
Well, yeah, and that was just lucky. I guess the builders thought, oh, this looks interesting, and passed it along, and it ended up with local person people might know, Barry Ryan, who I then worked with to use these objects as part of Heritage Weekend and had the Fed Uni performers sort of bring the stories to life. So there was actually a performance up on that balcony that people got to watch from below. So, yeah, it is sad to think that lots is probably still hidden or has just been chucked away, but I love stories like that.
What do you encourage people to do, Amy, who come across relics of the past that they might think, yeah, that probably looks a bit special, but I don't know what to do with it, don't know where to store it. What should they do?
Yeah, so first thing is don't throw it away, please.
Good tip, yep.
And, you know, it needs to be assessed to see if it is actually something that's significant, I suppose, but the first port of call would probably be the Gold Museum. Part of Sovereign Hill, and they could give you that first sort of assessment of whether it's something that should be take it into their collection or another collection around town. So, it's often that thing of, oh, no, it's not that important, or maybe it's too much of a hassle. But, those things are treasures that can tell us stories.
Okay, so 2-point plan for old stuff. Number one, don't throw it away. Number two, check in with experts like the people at the Gold Museum.
Yep.
Now, when we think just back to verandas, Amy Silomanis, we're talking about the wooden verandas like at Jackson's or the Sporting Globe these days. But they weren't always wooden, were they, especially the columns?
That's right. So, yeah, they were beautiful. I think Wendy talks here about the cast iron columns, and like the iron work is so beautiful. It's, really iconic, I think, which is why it's amazing to see some coming back.
But again, iron work and cars, not a good combination.
Although, yes, she also mentions, people will be familiar with the big bluestone gutters. So, it would be quite hard to get across a bluestone gutter and smash into the cast
iron. You're having a red hot go to do that, aren't you? Get your car over one of those gutters and smash into a veranda. But I think, as you mentioned with that that tram story you told us about a couple of chats ago, anything's possible, isn't it, eh?
That's right. Yeah, that was a great story of a tram smashing into the Buck's Head Hotel. And again, myth and stories rise out of these, being full of punters having maybe a Ballarat bidder.
Yeah.
There's another interesting thing, thinking about Reed's Guest House, people might know near the train station.
We do.
Was originally the Coffee Palace.
Oh, I think there's still signage to that effect there, is there not?
Yeah, have a look if you go past. And the story there is that it was part of the temperance movement. So at one point in Ballarat, I think it was by 1870, there were apparently over 500 pubs.
500?
In the district. So, you can imagine there was a bit of a movement against that because people could see some of the social ills coming out of drunkenness and such. So, the temperance movement was a big thing, and they'd create these places like coffee and tea houses where no alcohol would be served.
Okay, so thus the Coffee Palace.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Another interesting part about our pubs and their transformation is that beautiful old brickwork often got painted over, Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was something Wendy highlighted to us as well, and this idea of, making stuff look fresh and modern. So it's interesting, isn't it, that there's all kinds of heritage and sometimes things do get layered over the top of each other, and it's not always a bad thing. But, that looked like another sad, the polychrome brickwork, which is that beautiful mix of different colours and patterns in the bricks, to have that just covered by white seems a bit sad.
Yeah, it does. But we talk about being sad about losing part of our history, but now you've painted that picture for us, Amy, about why it happened. It does make sense. We all want to appear as modern and forward-thinking, and Melbourne and Ballarat indeed were doing that in the 1950s with the eyes of the world about to be looking at our cities, I suppose. But here we are in 2021 thinking, wish there was more verandas.
They're amazing. Like, you see old photos of people sitting out there, whether you were sipping on a tea or a brew. They're these massive verandas that looked out over the city. There was one on Sturt Street as well, Leicester's Hotel, which was across from Maya. And you see these pictures of people in their kind of lounge chairs just looking out over Sturt Street. So, the one at the Sporting Globe, I can't say that I frequent that that particular venue, but that veranda is one of the biggest ones, which has a good view as well.
Yeah, well, thumbs up to the Sporting Globe and the owners of that building for putting that veranda back. That is outstanding and just what Ballarat needs. Amy, you'll be pleased to know we're getting closer to midday, so you can take your empty can, I should say, of Ballarat bitter and vacate the studio. But as always, thanks for enlightening us on Ballarat's history on Ballarat Today. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.